Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Yeah Yehuda Moah and Besar Radio. Listen to Yehuda Moah and Besar. Listen to Yehuda Moah and Besar Radio. Listening to Yeah Yehuda Moah and Besar Radio. Yehuda Moah and Besar. Listen to Yehuda Moah and Besar Radio.
You're listening to Rastafari Discipleship Radio featuring Yadon Ben Chayil Ben Kushi, TK Eras I Adonis and the Rastafari, Chavirim of the Lion of Judah Society Online Logest.org. כולכם מאזינים לרדיו תלמידי רסטפארי בהשתתפות ידון בן חייל בן קושי פקה רס אי אדוניס והחברים הרסטפארי של אגודת אריה יהודה אונליין לוג'ס נקודה אורג.
Listening to Yeah Yehuda Moah and Besar Radio.
The Lion of Judah shall break every chain.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever.
Well,
pop it. Everybody around me sinning, I'ma stop it. Still can't see me with the optic. My thoughts too hot, so I dropped it. Coming from the roof like the cockpit. While you talk shit, I'm the pilot in the cockpit. While I'm on a straight path to the Ethiopic. I'm Leon.
When I breathe through, I be speaking the scriptures to blow a tree too. I be speaking in tongues, they go to Hebrew. Everything is you and then he said that we can do too. I'm getting loose, I'm a good news. Haile Selassie, the first is the truth. The scriptures 100% of the proof. The conquering lion, that be the root.
Holy bind, holy bind, holy bind, holy bind, holy bind.
Mount Zion is only a step away. So take a step in the way of His Imperial Majesty. Garmawi Nugusa Neges Adamawi Haile Selassie, the King of Kings. His Imperial Majesty.
To turn to another subject, Your Imperial Majesty, are there any passages of the Bible that have become especially meaningful to you?
I have the highest respect for the Bible as a whole. We also recognize the rightful name the Bible bears. We find that in all the periods of the Old Testament, in the time of patriarchs, kings, and prophets, great miracles were done. On the other hand, the New Testament, in which our Lord Himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach, is also of high value. Then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels in which the sayings of our Lord are recorded, are pillars for all men on the earth. Therefore, the Bible should not be cut into portions.
Emperor Haile Selassie has survived crises few modern leaders experience. The brutal conquest of his country was the most painful. When he appealed for help to the League of Nations, he spoke not only for Ethiopia, but for the integrity of all small nations. The world turned its back and drifted into a Second World War.
For the soothing truths in that old hymn.
Amen.
Safe with Jesus the captain.
You know he is.
Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach, in the name of Adonai, Yeshua I HaMoshiach, I. Glory be the King, Kadamah HaSelassie. Yes, I, Rastafari, 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 Rastafari.
And we're leaving out of Babylon, straight to Mount Zion and the Starliner. We stop to Nigeria, Gambia, Ghana, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Senegal, Guinea, Uganda, Chad, Togo, hey! Final destination, Ethiopia.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yes, 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 yes. Much applauding, do it according. Pay the respect to the honorable Marcus Garvey, yeah. Much applauding, do it according. Pay the respect to the honorable Marcus Garvey, yeah. Amen. Repatriation. Judgment, your time. Sizzla promote it. Anything for black people, I come support it. Black airline, yeah, black people are wrote it. 30,000 feet above sea level, them are float it. But them feel like me, I some pretty black here wrote it. Follow the island, some of the first class, them are spout it. None can deny that, world don't think, don't try that. We don't fear nobody, thinks we'll see how we pilot. Buckle up your seat, there's you flying to Mount Zion. Full of pretty people every day, them just apply on Starline, I rule the sea. I need to the sky and destination, the land of the conquering.
Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner, ship of the prime. Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner ship.
It's a CSC of Mr. Prime Minister, you fit aboard the Starliner ship. Take me out of Babylon, make so many trips. Now slave master, y'all, if we win now with them of somebody who are black people, dump and kick them. No thought of slavery, it get abolished. Look on black man's shoes, so it's clean and polished. Babylon system get demolished. Babylon vanity start to vanish. Increase me education, I mean increase me agriculture, I mean increase repatriation. Get out the land of the vulture.
Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner, ship of the empty time. Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner,
ship of the empty time. Flying a plane in a ship, me a sail. Black Star Line to Africa, we a prevail. Marcus, yeah, be block down the rail. Same time, Emperor Selassie, I, we a ill. Black people say it, I believe these things. Ship and planes, we need these things. School and factories for the queens and kings. House and land for the nation bling. Yeah, in a Mount Zion, and then me touch down. In a Addis Ababa, and the holy ground. People surround me, and I say, look there, King David.
Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner, ship of the empty time. Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner Airline, Black Starliner, ship
is that the empty. We have one thing, we now have our own Babylon. We have one thing.
Though the wicked persecute I, for mistakes. We're sailing a tight ship for sure. Get the broom, sweep the place. Oh, clear our space. There is no room for mistakes, mama said. Sailing a tight ship for sure.
Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're going to ride up here for this sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Usually these Torah portions are connected. Tazria. She conceives seed and Metzora. Now, from the previous scheduling here in the Ethiopian calendar in this year, the year of Luke the Evangelist. I think a little typo here, evangelical. Well, evangelical evangelist, right? The one that does that. Good news, the newsing of the good news, the when Galawit. So here we have, in this leap year, the Torah portion is separated. In other words, usually it's a double. In most of the usual years, it doubles up, you know, the 54 and the weeks in the year, 52 weeks, so forth and so on. Now here, already beginning with the new moon and fortnight. So we had like a fortnight from the previous TJIF from the 5th. Hurricanes in the 5th, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th. And so here we are. Here we are right here. Ministry Monday time, testify Tuesday time, and this would be Metzorah, the Metzorah, Shabbat Metzorah. So usually it would be Tareges or Tazria, she conceives, and Metzorah. Now Metzorah is interesting because previously we updated it. So here we have Yeh Lemtzamu, Lemtzamu. Well, really, when it says Yeh, Yeh is of, so Lemtzamu. Lemtzamu. Lemtzamu is like the leper and the Metzorah. Now, the connection of these two Torah portions is what we like to really like review some of the basics, because here we get an opportunity, unlike in other Shanas, to have more time to scrutinize, especially we're in the leap year. So the leap year, as we mentioned, Torah portion usually doubled up. Some portions are doubled up. But in the leap year, they're separate. So we have Tazria, she conceived seed, previous Shavua, sabbatical, Sabbath strong, the seven, and now this seven. Now this seven now will be the first of the two Shavuas, Sabbaths. When I say Sabbaths, Sabbaths have like two meanings. It has your seventh day, but it's also the whole set. How can you get to the seven without the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? That's why Jah Word says, 6 days thou shalt work, and the seventh day is Yom HaShabbat, or Senbet Ken. So here, in looking at this right here, we gave some due emphasis in the previous Shavua to the law, Torah, of the matrix. We're calling it the law of the matrix, or the mothership. Some might say motherhood. Now, there's some particular reasons why we prefer and choose ship, also in tune to teaching and the word, you know, the word and the sign language, you know, the word, how we use language. Now, hopefully we'll bring that out. I think it's in the Kevra Neges. The Kevra Neges, the Queen of Sheba, only son Menelik, is there, and also we might find it reflected as well in the Legend of Our Ladies, other documents, manuscripts as well. But first things first, looking at, let's review the previous. There's additional notes, and I give thanks to Wendell Ross Iason and also the other Chabarim for the Aliyah, also the Psalms, you know, for the Kabbalat or the Kabbalat Shabbat, the welcoming of the Sabbath. We have the brethren reading, each one reading, going up with the Psalms, you know, and also with the Aliyot, you know, Sahar Ahad, you know, Ras Muwata, Brother Muwata. We have Brother Yifti, you know, I and I, and also from time to time others have come forward and hopefully will as well come forward. So if you haven't gotten a chance to give ear, you know what I mean? Because we have to invest in our education, also investing in this ministry of His Majesty. I think we have a couple of vids to share where we basically ask, are we as Rastafari better off? And this is not us saying of us, but that which has been committed to us, I and I and I and I. You know, so those who are able to do more, you know, do more. Those who are able to only maybe do less, but all together now. So give thanks, education, you know, investing in this education, and recognize that education is the key, and we also have to invest in this education. You know, so putting that forward, to give thanks to the donators. Is it donators? Well, some sort of this kind of way, how is it said? Donors? Because someone say donors, they think of it maybe in one sense, but then you also have the donation, the support, the contributions towards the ministry. Even on the Blog Talk Radio, this is a platform right here that, unlike other social media platforms are by comparison, are free platforms, you know, like the YouTubes and Facebook, you know, but Blog Talk is different there, you know, so there's a particular course that those of us who are able to fund and foot that course have been, and over the past several years, you know, and much has been accomplished, first of all, from that. So it's not that, you know, investing in it, you know, is to no purpose, and I, them, hopefully can be the witnesses, is for good purpose, but also to
as they say, give back to the hood, right? Well, give back to the lion of the tribe of Yehuda, right, as well, brothers and sisters, as one is able, but also to encourage and support social media, getting the word out also is very, very important. And also the Instagram, make them know who the Lion of the Tribe of Judah Society am, I and we. So here, and looking over this, we're going to review from the previous, because see, the previous begins off with the law of the matrix of the matriarch, she conceived seed, and the particular regulations concerning childbirth, right, and the healing of the womb and the womb man, and as well as we had the circumcision as well. You know, and that's another subject matter to touch on as well. These are questions people ask us about certain things, because there's other ones who call themselves Jews and they might do certain things that, and they do some things that we don't, and because of the teaching, so he gives the teaching of his majesty. While there are some things that they observe, as HaMashiach Yeshua said, you know, whatsoever things they bid you to observe, that observe, but don't do after their works. So we have to learn discernment. You know, discernment is the key. So I'm going to touch on the previous, just a kind of an overview, and because there's some subject matter discussion topics that need to at least get the proverbial, you know, light of day, you know, and the reason. How does it connect? You know, what is leprosy? You know, I don't know if one of the ones saw the vlog we posted both on the IG as well as on the YouTube, on the Rastafari Sabbatical. Still looking forward to moving forward to the new channel. Give thanks, brothers and sisters. Think about a set of ones and ones have already pre-subscribed. Make sure you hit that bell, the bell and the notification on Rastafari Foundation, and, you know, just subscribe in advance, you know, because a lot of things that we're seeking to accomplish in the season, and also looking at the fact that the reason for the season is the preparation for Pesach, for Fasica, right? And how does this Torah portion, how does it also shine light, right, on that reason for the season? So going from the low degree to the high degree in I, divine heritage, Judeo-Christian, it's the roots, getting to the roots. Yes, I. So make sure one of the ones is able and so move, you know, to give back or give forward to the hood, right? Yehuda, you know, the line of the tribe of Judah, you know, for the works, the labors, the ministry, and also just like, share, subscribe, hit that bell also. You know, on different platforms, there's different things that one can do to make sure that we stay connected even while this particular technology stay connected, you know what I'm saying? To use technology wisely, right? In Yahweh, truth and life. Stay tuned, brothers and sisters. Take a little Selah. And then some of the topical themes, Chavarim's. Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
ברוך אתה אדוני
ג'אנס רסטפארי
ג'אנס
רסטפארי.
שלום חברים, שלום. All right, Hebrew first words here for the Kaf Chet 28, weekly Torah portion reading and feeding, and a yearly cycle sabbatical studies. Right, for this Rastafari Shabbat Strong. Here we pick up with the Yod Dalet chapter, third book of Moshe, Hebrew book, that's called Leviticus. Here we have Sefer Vayikra, Leviticus, third book of Moshe, known as Leviticus chapter 14, the Yod Dalet chapter, Hebrew first words here for this 28th weekly Torah portion reading and feeding. Here we have Vaydaberi Yahuwah el Moshe, Lay more, and the Yahweh, he who be, who he be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be he, blessed be the name, spoke to Moses. Vaydaber Yahuwah, Vaydaber Yahweh, il Moshe, lay more, Zot, Tihyeh, Torat. This is she. This is the law. Tihyeh, Torat. Hamitzorah,
ha-mitzorah of the leper, b'yom in the day, taharato, in the day of his cleansing, with huba il ha-kohen, and he shall be brought to ha-kohen, and he shall be brought to the priest. Hebrew first words here, for this 28th sabbatical study, for this Shabbat strong, mitzorah, ha-mitzorah, the leper. Hebrew first words. Vaydabariyah, wal Moshe lemor, zota tihye torat ha-mitzorah, b'yomata ha-rato, with huba il ha-kohen. Kohen.
Listening to Truth You Radio with Jono, and g'day to Owen, who's commented on the Truth You Facebook page, and also Gail, who's commented there. And just want to say thank you to the listeners who do comment and share the Torah Pills. It is time for the Torah Pills. Pills from the Torah portion with Keith Johnson and Nehemia Gordon. G'day, fellas.
Hey, g'day, and a shout out to Maria A. over in North Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey.
Thanks for listening, although the name of your town confuses me. Is that north? Is it south? I don't know what that's about.
It's good to have everybody, not only with Facebook and all the comments. Ken Alder, I want to say thanks to you for commenting on Truth to You Radio.
And wherever you may be around the world, it's good to have your company. And today we are in Tazria Metzorah. It's a double Torah portion. It consists of Leviticus chapter 12 all the way through to the end of 15. And, well, I want to say it begins like this. I'm going to read a little bit of it, but I'm going to do something I have in mind to head in a particular direction. And maybe you guys, you know what? I'm just going to start reading and let's see what happens.
Just be led by the Spirit, Jonah.
Okay, here we go. You ready? This is the way that it starts. This is chapter 12. Then Yehovah spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean."
Gotta stop you there.
Done.
We gotta talk about this first word there.
There it is.
It's not the first word, but it's actually the name of the Torah portion, Tazria, and you translated it conceived. What do you got there, Keith?
So it says, the Lord said to Moses, said, "Is a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son."
So what it literally says in Hebrew is when a woman produces seed, tazria, from the word zera. Now, I've got to warn the parents, this might not be a children-appropriate Torah portion, because we're going to be talking about adult topics. I don't see a way around it. I don't see a way around it. Okay, anyway, what it literally says is if a woman produces seed. Now, what's that about? One of the things that I've heard people teach is that, there's this verse over in, I believe it's Genesis chapter 3, mm-hmm. and it talks about the seed of a woman. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Over there
yeah.
in Genesis?
Yeah.
And it says over in Genesis 3:15, "An enmity I will place between you and between the woman," speaking to the snake,
mm-hmm.
"and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And one of the brilliant teachings I've heard out there is that, look, the seed of the woman, this has to be referring to, something supernatural, because women don't produce seed. And what people are thinking when they say that sort of thing is they're actually thinking in modern biological terms. When we say seed today, we mean something very specific,
mm-hmm.
something that only a man produces. See, I'm still trying to keep it G. rated G. So something only a man produces. But when Scripture talks about seed, it isn't thinking in biological terms. It's thinking in the terms of the way the word was used in everyday speech back in ancient Israel, which is offspring. And so in Hebrew terms, a woman does produce offspring, and that's why this opens up and it says ki tazria, when she produces a seed. Now, why do they translate it as when she gives birth, when she conceives, when she becomes
pregnant?
When she becomes pregnant. because they're trying to translate it into modern biological terms, into modern language. But in ancient language, zera, seed, didn't mean semen. It meant offspring. Now, sometimes it did mean semen. Shichvat zera, we have that over in Leviticus 15 in a very specific combination when it comes from a man. But usually when it speaks about seed, it's quite simply means offspring. And a great example of that, and look, I'm not knocking people who want to say theologically that Genesis 3:15, you know, refers to Jesus or something like that. If they want to believe that, that's a you know, I'm Jewish, I don't believe that, but if they want to have that theological belief, go right ahead. But don't say it linguistically, grammatically, this has to refer to something supernatural because women don't produce seeds. That's just stupid. And you just make yourself look stupid to anybody who actually knows Hebrew. So look over in Genesis 24. There's this great verse where they're blessing Rebecca, who is about to go off, and they say, and they bless Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed, in the King James, possess the gate of those which hate them. And in the Hebrew, it says the same exact word, zera, the seed. Now, is Rebecca here referring to, you know, what is it referring to, right? I mean, maybe that's referring to you know, some supernatural event as well. But the seed is possessing the gate of its enemies, and it's going to be thousands of tens of thousands is what it literally says in the Hebrew. Well, I hope that doesn't refer to the Messiah, because that's an awful lot of Messiahs, thousands of tens of thousands. Anyway, long story short, when it says seed in Scripture, it doesn't literally necessarily mean seed in the modern biological sense. What it means is in the ancient sense of offspring.
There. Awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
There it is.
And so born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, and she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks. It's doubled. Why is that?
Well, so let's finish the passage and we'll talk
about
that. Mm-hmm.
As in her customary impurity, she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter.
Can we stop here and talk about what just happened here? You know, this was, like, if you're not familiar with these passages, you read this, you're like, what on earth is this thing talking about, right? And I think the key term is in verse 2. It says, and she shall be tame. That's an important word to teach the audience.
Mm-hmm.
We have two states of ritual status in Scripture. There's tame, which means ritually impure, and tahor, which is ritually pure. Tahor and tame, tahor. All right. So she will be tame. She will be ritually impure for 7 days. And it says literally, like the days of the impurity of her dava, is a word that's difficult to translate. It's usually translated as sickness. What it actually means is her period. Her, you know, sickness is a euphemism because they didn't want to say that. Maybe they thought there were kids watching. Like the days of the impurity of her period, she shall be unclean. Now, what does that mean? What happens during the days of her ritual impurity of her period? Well, that's something that's discussed over in Leviticus 15. And what it says there is that from when the woman, and well, I guess we'll talk about this more when we get to Leviticus 15.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But wait.
I knew it. I told you.
No, we got to talk about it. Got to talk about it a little bit here, which is that what happens is basically when a woman is in a state of ritual impurity because of her period, because of her menstrual period, she is not allowed to have sexual relations with her husband. And there's two verses that actually talk about that, which aren't in Leviticus 15, and I'll bring those now. Maybe you could read them for us. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 19 is the first verse, and these are actual prohibitions.
Chapter 18, verse 19 says, also you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her.
Sorry, something else. Now, Leviticus, so it's saying when a woman is having, you know, in the period of her impurity, meaning she has her menstrual period, but it's not just when she has her menstrual period. Again, we'll talk about exactly what that is later. But it really is a 7-day period, a 7-day time that she's ritually impure. And during that entire 7 days, even when she doesn't have menstruation, she can't have sex with her husband. And that's what this is saying here in Leviticus 18. And Leviticus 20 says a similar thing. And a man who lies with a woman who is menstruating and uncovers her nakedness, her source he has uncovered, and she has uncovered the source of her blood. The two of them shall be cut off from the midst of their people. That's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have two verses that are clear prohibitions to have sex with a woman in her period. What's really interesting is Ezekiel chapter 18. Can we jump over to there and maybe talk about that for a minute? It's one of the coolest passages in the Bible.
Mm.
It talks there about, you know, the Israelites believed that if your father sinned, you're damned. You're going to burn in hell. There's nothing you can do. And God said to him, no, if you repent, it doesn't matter what your father did. It's completely irrelevant what your father did.
Mm.
And it gives various scenarios about somebody who lives a righteous life and somebody who lives an unrighteous life. And so verses 5 to 9 are the scenario, is one of the scenarios, the one where it talks about a man who lives a righteous life. And it lists all these different things he doesn't do. And one of the things it lists in verse 6 is, and to a woman in her nidah, her menstrual impurity, he does not approach, meaning to have sex with her. And I think that's fascinating that of all the things it listed, you know, it didn't say anything about sacrifices here, but it talks about a very specific set of things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them that it's worthy of mention that in the biblical mind is you know, something that's key is having relations with a woman during her menstrual impurity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just some trivial little ritual thing that should be ignored. It's actually quite important. And in biblical terms, according to Ezekiel 18, it's a key thing for being a righteous human being. So we have the 7-day period for the man and 14-day for a boy that's born and 14-day period when a girl is born.
Yeah.
That the man can't have sex with her. And why do I say that? Because it says she shall be like the days of her menstrual impurity. She shall be impure. So what that means, what I understand that to mean, she can't have sex with him for that 7 days for the boy offspring, mm-hmm. 14 days for the girl offspring. But then you have then you have this 33 days and 66 days, and what's that about? You guys have any ideas about that?
I have absolutely no idea whatsoever, Keith.
I'm sure you're going to find it in Ezekiel or further in the script. Go ahead, Nehemiah.
No, it's not in Ezekiel. Well, look, so we have 33 days for the male offspring. In other words, there's a period of 7 days, followed by another 33 days, an entire period of 40 days that the woman is ritually impure, ritually unclean. And for a female offspring, she's ritually unclean for 80 days, 14 plus 66.
Yes.
Now, what happens during that second phase, during the 33 for the boy and the 66 for the girl? And there's actually a major dispute among Jewish sources about that, primarily a dispute between Karaite Jews and Rabbinite Jews, but even among the Karaite Jews, there's a dispute about that. Let's start with the rabbinical position. So the phrase here is that it says, it refers to it here. It says in verse 4 of Leviticus 12, it says in 33 days she will sit in with the blood of her purification. And they say, well, blood of purification, that means she's ritually pure for 33 days, which makes no sense to me. But and it goes on and it says, and no holy thing shall she touch, into the sanctuary she shall not enter
mm-hmm.
until the completion of her days of her purification. So what the rabbis say is that during those 33 days or 66 for a boy, she can't go into the temple, can't touch the holy things, but during the entire period of those days, she can have relations with her husband, and even if she has her regular menstrual period.
Okay, so that's really weird.
And so the phrase they give there is they say, even if she's flowing like a river during those 33 or 66 days, depending if it's a boy or a girl, she is ritually pure for all purposes concerning sex, and he can have sex with her even if she has a flow. Now, the Karaite position is the exact opposite, although, again, there's a debate among the Karaites themselves. Some say that during those 33 or 66 days, she can't have sex at all. In other words, during the entire 40 or 80 days, she can't have sex with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, because then why distinguish between the 7 and the 33 and the 14
sure.
and the 66, right? In other words, what you're basically saying is the 7 days and the 33 have the same status. So in any event, the way I'm reading it is that during those 7 and 14 days, she can't have sex with her husband because she's as if she's ritually impure from the period, just like we'll read about in Leviticus 15. But during the following 33 or 66 days, her only prohibition is that she can't touch the holy things or enter into the temple. But as far as having sex, there's no prohibition there. And that's actually one of the Karaite opinions, the one that I tend towards too.
Okay, so Keith, this program is officially rated M for mature audiences, and that's all I have to add.
How can we talk about this without dealing with these issues? I mean, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. The thing I was kind of looking at this. I want to you can add the children back in now. is the idea of so this difference between a son and a daughter, and what that issue would be, but the bigger issue for me was, as I was reading this, immediately what I thought about Nehemiah and Jonah was, I was going back to this idea of childbirth after the situation that took place with the with the serpent,
mm-hmm.
After the father comes down and talks to Eve and Adam and the serpent. And I just thought there's just an interesting verse, and I just wanted to bring this up, you guys, just as a discussion. So what was the issue regarding childbirth, and why is childbirth is it the issue of the blood, or is there also a connection with the actual birth of the child? Because, we can just have a short discussion about this, but the significance of childbirth, the significance of bringing forth this child, and then just wanting to ask this question more for the people, I'm sure there's some of that are listening. So how is there what is the view of, in other words, why would it take double the time, why would there be double the time for a female versus a male?
Mm.
I mean, is that, I have all boys.
Look, that's a common question. The other common question, Keith, is found in verse 6, where it says that she has to bring a sin offering. And people say, well, what are you saying? Are you saying that to give birth is a sin? What is the sin here? Well, there's something, the natural bodily function here is somehow I've done something wrong. What does this mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. And specifically, it talks about the priest atoning for her, that he has this atonement for her. So what is and look, I don't have an answer to that. That really is the bigger, that's a bigger question. One possibility is that the word for sin or sin offering can also mean a purification offering. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't then explain the atonement. What does she need atonement for? And I don't have an answer to that. I want to address though the other question that Keith raised, which is why a boy, the woman becomes ritually impure 7 days for a boy, 14 days for a girl. Does that mean that women are, less holier? And that's something I hear a lot from feminists that, look, the man was created first, the woman was an afterthought, and then in scripture, women are, create more ritual impurity than men, and therefore scripture is anti-women.
Because it seems like it's saying that she has incurred a greater level of impurity, yeah.
Right. So I want to offer an alternative analysis of that. In other words, look, you could look at it that way and say that men are holier than women, and that's why women create more ritual impurity, and that's why women were created afterwards, and men were created first. So I want to offer an alternative, and this isn't something I made up myself. This is something you find in Jewish writings, which is that if you look at the order of creation, it starts off with the simplest things, right? We have inanimate objects, and after inanimate objects, we have plants, and after plants, we have animals, and then after, really the lower animals, the sea animals, and et cetera, and then afterwards, you have the higher animals, the land animals, and then after that you have humans. And then finally the last thing to be created is woman. So from that perspective, actually woman then, if you look at it that way, is kind of the most advanced thing in creation. And I'm not saying that as a feminist. What I'm saying here is, look, women have been given the blessing of being able to produce life. Men are involved, it's true, but they bear a life for 9 months.
Mm.
And there's something holy about that. There's something that connects them to God through that experience. And if you look at the first child born after Cain and Abel, Cain, who is born, she says, Kaniti ish et Yehovah, which means I've created a man, a person with Yehovah. So a woman has this interaction with Yehovah through childbirth that we don't have, that we're not blessed with. And I tend to think that that's the reason that the woman is the last thing in creation, because she really, in a way, is more advanced than man. She has this holiness that we don't have. And I think therein lies the reason for the greater level of impurity. There's this concept in Scripture, we'll see it in Numbers 19 with the red heifer, that if something is really, really, really holy, it actually creates ritual impurity when you come into contact with it. And so the fact that she has 14 days doesn't mean that she's less holy. On the contrary, that may be a function of her being more holy, the birth of a female child, and not the other way around. So I think really it's a matter of your perspective. If you want to come at this with a chauvinist viewpoint, you definitely could. But I think there's a lot of clues in the scripture that there is a holiness about women that we should respect and honor. And thank God, you know, we have this this image in Proverbs 31 of the Eshet Chayil of the woman of valor.
A woman of value, of valor. Some translate a woman of valor. And the KJV is a virtuous woman, but virtuous strength. That's why it's chayil, chayil. Eshet, eshet, chayil, the woman of strength. Interesting point he made right there, quoting from, was Genesis, was kaniti, yeah, kaniti ish et Yahuwah, that she has kana, kaniti. It sometimes it is translated as create. In fact, it's used when it speaks of Kone, Shemayim Wa'aretz, when it speaks of Malkiyat Tzedek, you know, the priest, you know, of the Most High, possessor, has a sense of acquire, to acquire. But it's a nuance. It's not the same word used in Bereshit and Genesis 1 and 1, but it's connected with wisdom as well, Chokmah. And also how he explained, you know, those things that are more holy have more sanctity. And even within the Hebrew, the gender, the male and female of that which is so-called inanimate, even with the ark and with the sanctuary itself is in the feminine sense, and it's the holy of holies. You get what we're saying right there? Very interesting point how you brought that out right there. Going to have a little bit more on that. Because there's some points there that hopefully ones can hear from others reasoning on it and hopefully do their own study. But here today's daily psalm, right? Today's daily psalm has to do with creation and the blameless creator in Psalm 135. But we'll take up a little bit more. We hear here Shema.
Here we have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm.
Psalm 135.
Mizmor Kuf Lamed He Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, and Og king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
Baruch Ata Adonai.
Yes!
Babylon burning, Babylon burning, Babylon burning. They have no water. Fire, fire, fire.
Sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Shabbat strong. Shabbat.
The holiness about women that we should respect and honor. And thank God, you know, we have this this image in Proverbs 31 of the Eshet Chayil, of the woman of valor. And I could talk for an hour about that, but I'm not going to. So here
my money ball Jonah was going to be Genesis chapter 4. And I was building up to my money ball in Genesis chapter 4. Now I'm going to have to pull something real deep out. And I can't. Genesis 4, he took it. Okay, so
Genesis 4:1. Let me
say this. What I was actually excited about is I was thinking about it, you know, asking the question, but I did think about the complexities of male versus female. And one of the things I love about Genesis and in the early part is that in it, Nehemiah, you actually put it in a really, really concrete terms. I kind of was thinking of it a little bit different, is that, you know, he made man, but he built woman. And so the idea of woman being built, I mean, I just think of, you know, in my background, you know, we have a different appreciation in my culture. There's sort of this appreciation of women in terms of the many things about them that are complex. Mm. And just the idea that you know, he takes man from the dust, but he has to form and build woman taken from man, but then actually I see this idea of it being sculptured, crafted, built, et cetera. So I like the idea that there's a complexity with women, the fact that they're able to bring forth life, carrying children for 9 months, all those things that Nehemiah said is just really, really, really powerful. And I thought about it a little different also. I thought, man, you know, only 14 or, you know, how many days for men and how many days for women? Because you're creating another one of these, these beautiful and amazing, creations are coming forth that are going to continue to do this, you know, women that bring forth children, et cetera. So
it's amazing. And It's a whole world of experience that us men can only observe, and the miraculous.
God for that.
But there is that. But at the same time, where do we begin to understand what she feels, what she goes through, and the reward that she must experience in actually bringing forth life? It's just an amazing, incredible thing that we can only be a part of on the sidelines, so to speak.
Can I just bring up one other thing? Can I bring up a little of something that kind of I've thought a lot about? I've thought a lot about this idea of children, and you know, I've watched this happen with my wife three different times. You know, where it's children that are growing in her womb, but then there are also women who never have children, but they still go through the process of having this cycle that takes place every month. And I always think it's amazing that there's this cycle that takes place every month. And I happen to be in this mode right now where I'm dealing with this idea of time. And this idea of God's clock, and the idea that we have this wonderful clock that gives us this monthly period of time that we look at. And then I think about women who, within their very bodies, they have this process. Now, I wouldn't be quite as graphic as Nehemiah
I don't even know what you're referring to.
But what you're saying is so true, Keith, because in both in the solar cycle, also in the lunar cycle, and the cycle of the egg in a woman, if you draw these things to scale, you can see that there is clearly a pattern.
When you think about that, and you think about this cycle, and you think about the moon, and you think about time, and you think about the way God created things, I mean, I've just been overwhelmed, absolutely overwhelmed at the specifics and the ways that God creates and what he does. You know, I had this process where I was trying to figure out why chickens were able to lay eggs without the help of a rooster. I mean, there's just all these things in creation. Well, one of the most amazing things in creation, one of the most amazing ideas, this concept in creation, that there's this woman that walks the earth that's tied to the cycles of the earth in creation, I think, just amazing.
So, it is. It's amazing. And there's a consistency that you can observe, the consistency and pattern and order of our Creator, the intention and design of our Creator really, it is incredible when you study those things out.
Can we bring up one last thing? And Nahemi, I'm glad you brought the technical terms of this idea of being tameh. Is that one of the things that's happened, and I know we're going to talk a lot about this, but I want to just establish this very quickly. And I want to ask a very simple question. Jono, when your wife is in a state of being unclean, does that make her bad?
No.
Nehemia, can we ask a question? Nehemia, when a woman is in a state of being unclean, does that make her bad?
No, of course not.
Of course not. Now, you guys can say that, but I actually have met people that say, oh, because she's in this state of being unclean, that means that, you know, she is whatever. Well, then what they often don't do is they don't just talk about what that concept is overall for men and women being in that state. And we talked a little bit about it, but there's sort of this idea that sort of she's this walking in the old days. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Charlie Brown, the cartoon Charlie Brown, but there's one little guy that they call Pigpen.
Pigpen.
And when Pigpen walks around, there's this dust that comes up.
There's a cloud.
This cloud of, you know, but that the idea of being unclean didn't mean bad. It meant this is what you couldn't do, the things that you couldn't do, but it doesn't say there's anything wrong or anything bad about being in that
absolutely.
State.
No, absolutely. It's not a sin to be ritually unclean.
Exactly. I wanted to establish that.
The sin is when you then touch one of the holy things, like the sacrificial meat that we talked about. Or if you go into the tabernacle or temple, that's where the sin enters.
Exactly.
And then specifically with the menstrual impurity, you have another aspect, which is having relations during that time. And there's a separate specific commandment that appears twice, two witnesses, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, Ezekiel's our third witness, that tells us that that's not something that should be done. But that doesn't mean that being in that state by itself is bad. On the contrary, it's part of this cycle, which has
Amen.
To do with holiness, which has to do with the creation of life.
Amen.
Now, I'm glad you brought this up, Keith, because this was a topic. I was surprised at how many women feel condemned by Leviticus 15, not really understanding it. And as a result of that, Nehemiah and I did actually have a discussion where Nehemiah did explain in detail Leviticus 15.
On the radio?
On the radio.
Why wasn't I invited?
Wait, do you remember that, Nehemiah?
I do, yeah.
Remember when we said let's not ring Keith?
Don't tell me that.
Now, what I'm going to do, I will post that up with this one as well so that people can – because really that there was some considerable detail there. And not only that, but there were many, many comments – both on Facebook and in the comment section of the website, of women so relieved, saying thank you so much for explaining this to us. So obviously that's something to revisit from time to time.
Yeah.
And we'll
glad that we talked about that. It really is important. So
it is now chapter 13 and on really kind of is riveting radio, and I just can't wait to get into it.
Wait. Fine.
All right. What it's all about is leprosy. It's the details of leprosy. I would encourage listeners to read through it in detail.
Hold on, Jono.
And,
just a minute.
And
now, Jono, I'm not letting you off the hook on this, man.
And
no, and, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you we've had a fight. Okay, Jono wants. Jono,
I think Jono should read the whole chapter in Hebrew.
Sure. Yeah.
No, what I was going to say before we get into, you know, and again, listen, I think there's one of the things we could do is just the general overview of what we're talking about here, because you use the word leprosy as chapter 13 was dealing with the issue leprosy, but I don't quite see it that way. It isn't just an issue of leprosy.
Give us the Methodist perspective.
Yeah, no, the Methodist perspective. So we have an issue of skin disease, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that skin disease isn't just an issue of leprosy, am I correct?
There's various.
Well look, it infects houses, so obviously it's not a biological disease like we understand today.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was always taught is that sara'at, what's the Hebrew word, sara'at, that sara'at isn't leprosy. You know, leprosy, normally when you say leprosy, what you mean specifically is something called Hansen's disease.
Right.
And that sara'at is not Hansen's disease, what I was taught. But that it was actually some type of spiritual ailment or malady that doesn't really exist anymore to the best of our knowledge. And the reason they thought it was a spiritual disease is again, first of all, it infects not only people, it also infects clothes and houses. So I mean, what's that about? You know, microorganisms, as far as I know, don't infect houses and clothes. So what is that really about? And then one of the clues that would point to that is the stir we have in Numbers chapter 10. Can we look at that? So Numbers 10, we've got this story where Miriam, the sister of Moses, and Aaron are they're gossiping about Moses. That's the bottom line. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So are we in 10 or 12?
Or I'm sorry, it's 12.
Is it 12? 12:10.
12:10. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, and you'll edit it so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. And it opens up, and Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moses concerning the Cushite woman, which he had taken, for he took a Cushite woman. And what's really interesting is we don't know what they were saying. There was some gossip going on here, mm-hmm. but we don't know what the gossip was. He was mistreating her, or he was, you know, what was he doing that they were gossiping about it? Or, you know, she had a funny nose. Who knows? We don't know. It doesn't say. But then it says in verse 4, and Jehovah said suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, go out, the three of you, from the tent of meeting. And they went out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And where's the part I'm looking for?
No. I'm going to read this. Let me read this, because this is a great story. Okay. I know we're going to visit this in detail when we get there eventually.
You guys are kidding me.
No. You're right. Hush now. Okay, this is it. Suddenly, Jehovah said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out. You're in trouble when, boy. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. I've got exclamation mark after that. So the three came out. Then Jehovah came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. Oh. And they both went forward, and he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Jehovah, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of Jehovah. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?
Oh.
So there it is. Now that needs to be read. So the anger of Jehovah was aroused against them, and he departed. And verse 10, when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to Jehovah, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. And then Jehovah said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been shamed 7 days? Let her be shut up outside the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey until Miriam was brought back in again.
sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong.
Shabbat Strong.
Shabbat.
Let me read this because this is a great story. Okay. I know we're going to visit this in detail when we get there eventually.
You guys are kidding me.
No. Wait, hear it. Hush now. Okay, this is it. Suddenly, Yehovah said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out. You're in trouble when, boy. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. I've got exclamation mark after that. So the three came out. Then Yehovah came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. Oh. And they both went forward, and he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yehovah, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of Yehovah. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So there it is. Now that needs to be read. So the anger of Yehovah was aroused against them, and he departed. And, verse 10, when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when it comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to Yehovah, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. And then Yehovah said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been shamed 7 days? Let her be shut up outside the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey until Miriam was brought back in again.
Wow. So what we have here is she and her brother are gossiping, and apparently she's leading it. Because she's mentioned first, and there's a whole grammatical mm-hmm. thing that we'll talk about maybe when we get to Numbers 12 that shows that she was really in charge of the gossip. And God punishes her with leprosy. So this isn't like a regular disease that you get from, you know, somebody sneezing on you. Mm. This is something that has a spiritual aspect to it, and we can see a similar thing in Exodus chapter 4, verse 6. I'll quickly read it. It says, furthermore, Yehovah said to Moses, now put your hand in your bosom, meaning in your shirt. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. So his hand was covered in leprosy, and it's described the same way as with Miriam. It was white as snow, the hand. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. So this is being given as a sign, leprosy. It's a sign that, in the case of Moses, that God's actually speaking to him. Here it's a case that it's given as a sign that she's sinned against God's messenger. And so it may have a spiritual aspect. And then the third story we have about leprosy is, I know one that you want to talk about, Jonah, which is in 2 Kings chapter 5. And there a person is healed of leprosy, and it's done in a supernatural way. So in all three cases, we have these supernatural connections to leprosy. It really makes me wonder whether this is actually a regular disease like cancer.
Sure, and it's not just that's not the only connection. Obviously, there is also a judgment of leprosy like Miriam, and the phrase once again, the chapter of 2 Kings chapter 5 ends with leprous as white as snow. So, Keith, can I have your permission to, I mean, I already had a board meeting here in the studio. It was just me, and I was officially bored, and I decided, I reckon we should read this chapter. Can we do that?
We should what?
Read the chapter, 2 Kings chapter 5. This is the story of Naaman.
Are we not going to go to Leviticus chapter 13? Are you guys just not going to let me talk about Leviticus chapter 13? Is that the idea?
Let him talk about Leviticus 13.
Okay,
we'll
give us the Methodist version
Leviticus. No, it's not the Methodist
30.
Version. What I was excited about, here I was excited to talk about, and you guys want to talk about everything else. Hey, for those that want to look at Leviticus 13, Leviticus 13, okay, can I just establish one thing?
Let's do it.
First of all, we're not just speaking about leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13. Is that fair? There are rashes. There are different things that are happening.
I agree. I think we're talking about leprosy and how to distinguish it from other things.
Okay.
So that
manifests in some various
ways. That's the point I'm trying to make. We're not.
There's different forms of leprosy.
Sure.
Thank you.
And one of the reasons that I think that we can feel safe about, you know, not really going into too much detail, you know, and like I said, I think it's a spiritual ailment that really isn't with us anymore, but. I could be wrong about that, but there's actually a verse that very clearly says here, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 8, it says, take heed and of the plague of leprosy, you know, be careful of the plague of leprosy, that you carefully observe and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, mm-hmm. just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. And what that tells me is that when they were reading this in the public reading, the average Israelite, when they got to Leviticus 13, was probably like me. He wasn't really paying attention. It's like, what are you talking about? There's a race thing and a depressed thing, and it's white and it's green and what? I don't know what you're talking about. And this is something that God is commanding for Israel, but the ones who need to be experts in it, who are commanded to be experts in it, are the Kohanim, the priests, and they're supposed to teach the people. Because the average person reading this, I really don't have no idea. I've read that chapter, I don't even know how many times,
okay,
and I
so
still
then,
have no idea what it's talking
okay,
about.
So here's,
that's
the,
why I need
the
Methodist to explain it.
Here's the Methodist, you guys. The reason that I was looking at it, I was looking at it from this idea that whatever it was that was happening with my skin, or whatever it was that was happening with mm-hmm. my itch, or whatever it was that was happening with the mildew, and I have something I want to say about that.
Sure.
Just this idea that, again, back to Leviticus chapter 11, he says, yeah, because I am holy, here are the things that you've got to do.
Mm.
I look at these things just like I look at the things regarding what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to do. I'm an ancient Israelite. All of a sudden, I wake up one day, I've got a rash on my leg. In fact, I've got one right now. Or I've got a little spot, and I'm thinking,
TMI,
is this
–
is... Okay, so – no, I'm – No, so I've actually seen people that dress this. And my point was, what I loved about it was that you go to these priests, and these priests actually have to know the difference.
Mm.
That was the thing that was kind of exciting to me, that he has this intermediary that says, okay, look, you've got this issue. You're not sure what it is. You go to the priest, and the priest is going to be able to look, and he's going to be able to examine it.
That is true.
And he's going to,
that's something that caught my attention.
Let me finish,
because,
Jono.
Okay.
Let me finish before you go to – you and Tammy can go to some other chapter. Can I finish? So the point is you go to the priest, and I can imagine this. It's like going to the doctor. No, let me take a look at it. Let me see. Show me what it is. Let's see. Is it raised? Is it not? And so the priests actually become sort of these, you know, these ones who are looking in on the people. And, I mean, to me, that's just kind of a cool thing. Regardless of what the disease is, the priest actually looks at it and says, oh no, that's this. We've got to take more time for that. And then, just in case you guys end up over in Chronicles and we end the program, I want to say something about the mildew. Because when I used to work for State Farm Insurance, one of the things we had to do is you had to go into a house, and we would always look for ways not to pay, okay? So it was my job to go into someone's house and to determine – what's happening in the house and what's covered and what's not covered. And I just found this to be, and I know we're not going to read it, you know, but I just thought this was kind of interesting that they would go in and they would see these things that were in the house. And if it was this kind of mildew and if it was that kind of mildew. So now not only is the priest one who looks at the body, he also has to understand construction. And he's got to be able to go in and understand what's happening in the house. I mean, these folks are really educated. I mean, these are people who have some real understanding. And why do they have this understanding? Because these things that could basically keep you from having your worship experience,
mm-hmm.
your interaction with the creator of the universe, these are things that they had to take serious. Now, we might pass over it, but if it were those days, we'd have to make sure we understand. Look,
mm-hmm.
Jonah's got a rash. Nehemiah's got something in his house. Keith's got something on his chair. His clothes have become infected, and he wants to go simply and not look at it and go to the temple. And he gets up there and tries to – and doesn't and isn't aware of it, and fire comes out and consumes him.
Mm.
So we don't have to talk about it, but I just thought it was pretty amazing that these priests had to have this information.
Yeah, so they were, I mean, that's the thing that struck me, actually, as I was reading it. It is really one of the things that occurred to me is that he's not just a butcher. I mean, he's not – obviously he's got various functions, but included in those functions – here, the thing that occurred to me, or the thing that I thought, was he's acting like a triage nurse here almost. And
exactly.
He's like, show me what the problem is. Let me see the
show
symptoms.
Show me the problem. Let me see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
determine what it is we're dealing with here, and let's see if we can't figure out what we can do. So yet another function of the priest. And that's fair. That's something to highlight, so I appreciate that.
Okay.
Now, can we go to Kings?
Absolutely.
This is it. Now, look, you know, boys and girls, come back into the room and make yourself comfortable. You know, you can read through Leviticus 13, 14, read all about the leprosy. But I figured, you know, wouldn't it be an opportune time to talk about probably the most famous leprosy story in the Tanakh? And that is 2 Kings chapter 5, and it is Naaman and his leprosy. So from verse 1, now Naaman, commander of the armies of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him, Yehovah had given victory to Syria. Now, there's something to make note of. How about that? By him, Yehovah had given victory to Syria. Mm-hmm. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And so he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. There it is. There you go. Be advised. Make sure when he comes, just do it. Be a good boy and appreciate it. Here's some gold and silver and some clothes. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. As if, you know, he's trying to start a fight with me here. And so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Yehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. And are not the Abana and the Phapar, is that correct, Nehemiah?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. The rivers, anyway, the rivers of Damascus. Better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went away in rage, and the servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, interesting, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of the little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his sides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as Yehovah lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to other gods, but to Yehovah. Nehemiah, can I just quickly ask, 2 mule loads mm-hmm. of earth, why take earth? Is he going to build an altar?
Presumably it's to build an altar, yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. The context here. But, you know, in his mind, the earth has to come from Israel to make the altar somehow, you know, for the God of Israel, you know, because they thought, okay, there's a God in Israel, and there's a God in Syria, and there's a God in some other place. So if I want to worship the God of Israel, I've got to bring earth from that, from his country.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
That's a superstition.
Yep.
Yes.
Yehovah, pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may Yehovah please pardon your servant in this thing. And then he said to him, go in peace. And so he departed from him a short distance. But, is it Gehazi? Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master is spared Naaman the Syrian, while not receiving from his hand and what he brought, but as Yehovah lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down off his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, oh, all is well. My master sent me, saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them talents of silver and 2 changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and were handed to them 2 of his servants. And then they carried them away ahead of him. And then he came to the citadel and he took them from their hand and stored them away in a house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." And then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow.
So listen, in Leviticus chapter 15. I have something I want to talk about.
All right, fine. We can't escape it. Is that what you're telling me? We got to go back
and
recap.
I'm telling you, we got to talk about this.
So there are some really interesting things in that story. I mean, maybe the most interesting thing is that Naaman coming from, who you call Naaman, Naaman coming from Syria, he comes to the door of Elisha, and he's waiting for the prophet to come out and do his hocus pocus and put on the whole show. He's seen this shtick before. He knows what it's about. You know, the magicians, the prophets, they come and they do these, you know, they put on the shows, and in the end he's not healed. He still has his leprosy, and instead the guy won't even come out and meet him. He sends him a message, "Go immerse it in the Jordan River 7 times. He's like, "Jordan River? We've got these big rivers in Syria. I'm going to, you know," and this is what a lot of people don't realize, that the Jordan River is like a tiny little, you know, creek that in a lot of countries wouldn't even have a name. You know, I come from Chicago, where they literally in Chicago had an open sewer that was bigger than the Jordan River. And I'm not kidding you. It was called the Chicago River, and it was for all intents and purposes an open sewer and bigger than the Jordan. You know, because you read about how God in Book of Joshua, God stopped the Jordan River and they were able to cross. And it's like, okay, you know, but that's just not on the same order of of impressiveness as splitting the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You're kidding me.
I'm sorry. It's a little tiny puddle. Anyway, so here's the thing. So he's expecting some kind of big hocus pocus, and mm-hmm. if you're going to dip yourself in the water, it's going to be the biggest river of all and the most impressive river. And it says, immerse yourself in the Jordan 7 times, and the guy won't even come to him. Mm. And he sees in the end that it works, and that's the bottom line.
Jono, I'd like to say something about your story that you brought up. I really do want to say something, and it's related to Leviticus. In terms of the infectious diseases and all of this, because what's really cool about this story, and it really is connected to what Nehemiah is. I thought this was what Nehemiah was going to say, was that as he comes, Elisha says, "Okay, go and dip in the Jordan 7 times," and for whatever reason, that's all the man had to do. Now he might look at it and he says, "Look, I needed this, I needed that. What about this? What about that?" And in the end, he did in fact do it, and then came this cleansing, came this healing. And when I read in these rules, these regulations, and these things in Leviticus up until the time that we've just stopped, it's kind of the same thing. Go and do this, have it, in fact, have this, have that. And can you hear the people saying, "I'm not going to do that"? But when you do the very things that God commands, if he commanded it through the prophet, then healing came. And so that's why I think the story is so powerful for me, is that it seems like an inconsequential, like, what are you talking about? Dip in the little puddle that Nehemiah calls the little puddle. But the bottom line is, if it's a command, if it's from him, guess what? The end result is healing. Mm. And so that for me, that's why I think it was powerful about the story. Not to mention, I love the fact that it says that there was a young lady that was there with Naaman, who was from where? The young servant girl. Where was she from, Nehemiah?
Israel. She was taken captive.
Absolutely.
Israel.
And what did she say?
But it was her that put to him, "Look, if it was some great thing that he'd asked you to do, you would have done it." But all these,
yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to say this, that she reminds me of the importance of the Torah when I hear her saying that. You know, in my tradition, it's like, well, if you give this and if you do that and if you do this and if you do that and if you read this and if you read that and if you pray this and if you pray that. But here this little Hebrew girl comes and says, "But, you know, he simply asked you to do something." And I think about her saying that to us today. And this is going to make me want to pray for a moment.
Mm.
Because I hear her voice today that says this. Here's what the Torah says. Here's what the Torah says. Will you not consider just doing it? You know, and that, in other words, I mean, people want to get around it. Let's get away from it. How do we get out of it? What do you mean about you want me to do this and have the woman's flowing with blood or not? These are the things he says do. Hey, what if we just do those things?
Mm.
And then let's see what happens. So I want to say a quick prayer for that we would consider as he reveals the information, as we become like Naaman, who says, okay, I need healing, and he says, go dip seven times, that we not sit and try to argue and say why this is not big enough and important enough, and it's just the Torah, and it's old, and it doesn't matter anymore. What if we just do it and see what happens?
Mm.
So I'd like to say a prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for this wonderful program that you have allowed for us to come in to struggle through and to work through your Torah, this important and amazing book, the Word of God that you've given for the people of God to do your will. Help us to be able to pray the prayer that our eyes would be open, that they would be uncovered, that we might see these amazing and wonderful and powerful and healing things in your Torah. So let us be able to not only see them, but then to apply them. In your name, Yehovah. Amen.
Amen. Can I just, let me just point something out, and this is, you know, this is not really related to leprosy in any way, but it just comes out of that story about Naaman the leper, and that is verse 15, because it takes me back to Exodus chapter 18, and I remember, Nehemiah, you made point of this verse when we discussed this in the Torah portion, and it was after Moses had explained to Jethro all the wonderful, miraculous things that Yehovah had done. And verse 10 of chapter 18 in Exodus, Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, blessed be Yehovah, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 11, now I know that Yehovah is greater than all the gods, he says. Now I know that Yehovah is greater than all the gods. But when we come over here in verse 15, after Naaman dips seven times in the Jordan, and his flesh is restored and he's totally healed, this is what he has to say. He says to Elijah, he says, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. That's a different thing, isn't it?
Amen.
It's not saying that that Yehovah is above all other gods. He's saying there is no other gods. There is only Yehovah in Israel.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Big
Amen.
Difference. All right. Now, are
Yehovah
we...
open all our eyes like he opened the eyes of Naaman.
Yes.
Haman.
Yes.
Amen.
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 So, in any case, in Leviticus chapter 12, 13, 14...
No, 14 is the next Torah portion.
Okay, 13 and all the leprosy. Do you guys want to bring anything out of it?
No.
No.
Why don't we end it with you reading the last verse, verse 59.
There you go.
This is the lore of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof. What's a warp or a woof? What?
So, you know how fabrics have, like, intermeshing pieces of, like, thread going in different directions? So one of those is the warp and one of those is the woof.
Okay, all right. Or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. That is the Torah for those things.
Amen.
There it is. So, boys and girls, you can study chapter 12 and 13 and all the all about leprosy there. But there also is the story of Naaman. Thank you, Nehemiah Gordon and Keith Johnson, for coming back Pearls from the Torah portion. Much appreciated, my friends. Appreciate your 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 friends.
Here we have today's daily song. We have song time.
Mizmor Guf Lamed He Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasury. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon king of the Amorites, and Og king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
Today's daily song, we have me, Zmor, Kof Lamed Hey. Kof or Kof Lamed Hey. Kof Lamed Hey. We have Psalm CXXXV, Psalm 135. This psalm, today's daily song, according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrews and the hereafter order of Malachi, is Edek, the righteous king, even the king of kings. It says, Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, the true Trinity, the Hebrew Trinity in nature. Elohim in nature, right? In nature, the nature of natures in nature, and his story, his narrative. A hymn composed for use in the Heikal, in the temple, Ha-Heikal, or often referred to as the Beit Mikdash, Hebraically speaking, the Beit HaMikdash, the house of the holy. Ethiopically, we say the Beit HaMekdes, right? Like the holy house, implying the temple, like in the Solomonic sense, mainly built up from scriptural citations, today's daily psalm. It traces the hand of Egziah, the sustainer of the good, the excellent father, Yod-Heh, Weh-Heh, Yahweh, He who be, who He be, at work. The hand of Ha-Elohim, of the Elohim at work in the physical universe, in the five-cycle universe or universe, and the early history of Yisrael, of the man who sees the true good, the true God. It is evidently, according to a study of this today's daily psalm, post-exilic, in other words, after the exile and date, as the quotations from other psalms. So we have quotations in today's daily psalm from other psalms, as well as what is called the Pentateuch, right? The Pentateuch, or some would refer to that as, we say, the Torah, you know, the five books of Moshe, and the Nabiyayim, or the Nabim, or some would say the Navim, the prophets, Nabiyat. They indicate as belongs to a period, a particular period in time, a time-space continuum, such as some link it with the initiation, what was started or initiated by Ezra, by Ezra, by Ezra, Ezra, by Ezra. right? And even Ezra Sutael in the apocryphal books as well, harboring, when the study of and familiarity with the holy writings, the holy writ, grew widespread in the community. This is why we point to Ezra, the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and Nehemiah after the return from the Babylonian captivity. Even the Torah portion, the reading and feeding, and this study of the Torah is connected with that particular time within I&I narrative of Ezra and Nehemiah or Nehemiah, when the study and the familiarity with the holy writ, the holy scripts and the holy writ and the holy writings, when it grew widespread in the, we can say, the black Jewish, Yehudi, right, the line of the tribe of Judah, right, community. Now, the psalmist deliberately unites himself. This is a quote right here. The psalmist, quote, the psalmist deliberately unites himself with those who had gone before him. All right, see, that's what the true religion, if you overs, right, right there, that linking, right, by quoting their words, word, sound, power. Because remember, word goes before sound, as Prince Farai reminded I&I, right, to be reminded and to remind the I, right, quoting their words. Every time I hear the words, the words, the words, Eile Hadibarim, these, Eile, these Hadibarim, Hadibarim, these are the words. Or, and or by reiterating their thoughts, right, word, sound, power. But he has composed a well-ordered and logical, that's the key there, the logos. In the beginning was Hadavar, Hadabar, the Dabar, the Logoi, the Kal, the word, word, sound, power, the logical hymn of praise, a logical hymn of Isis, a logical hymn of praise. It's a hallelujah, hallelujah, then elilta, illalu, illalu, illalujah, illalu he who be, who he be. I know a lot of ones say that the Yah actually is I am, but it's not Yah, is not I am in the Hebrew. Just once again, just to say, you know, words of the wise. You hear? Right, but hallelujah, we have this psalm, a call to praise. Hallelujah eta Shemi Yehovah, praise ye, praise y'all, the name Shemi Yehovah, Shemi Yehovah, Shemi Yehovah, praise the name of Jehovah, give praise, hallelujah, that's like to say, illalu, illalu, all of y'all, illalu, illalu, exalt him, praise him, a special exaltation, a special praise, avadei, avadei, avadei Yehovah, avadei Yehovah, avadei Yahweh, ye servants, avadei, avadei, of Yod Hey, Weh Hey, ye that stand in the house, ye who She'omadim, She'omdim, Be'eti Yehovah, y'all that stand in the house of Jehovah, She'omadim, She'omdim, Be'eti Yehovah, in the courts of the house of our God, of our Elohim, Be'chazarot, Be'chazarot, Be'eti Eloheinu, Beiti, Beit Eloheinu, Beiti Eloheinu, Beiti Eloheinu, in the courts of the Beit of Eloheinu. Praise ye, praise y'all. Yah, he who be, who he be. Hallelujah. Ki tovi, hova. Praise ye, Jah, for Jehovah is good. Hallelujah. Kia tovi Yehova, sing praises, Isis, to his name. Zamru, Zamru, Lishmo, Lishmo, Zamru, Lishmo, Zamru, Lishmo. Praise ye his name, Shemo. Kia na'im, ki na'im, ki na'im, for it is pleasant. For it is na'im, na'im, it is pleasant, ki na'im. For Jehovah hath chosen Ya'ikov, Jacob, to himself, ki Ya'ikov, b'haraloyah, b'haraloyah. Interesting. Interesting, the Hebrew here says, the translation we're looking at, the Sefer Tehili, it says, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob to himself. And the Hebrew says, ki Ya'ikov, for Jacob, Bihar, in being chosen, Lau, Lau, to himself, Yah, Yah, Yah. So there we have the name Yah, which is, in distinction from the Yod Hey Weh Hey, the Yod Hey is the savior of Yisrael out of Mitzrayim name. It's a savior name. So even the different names and nomenclatures, they signify word, sound, and power, various specific aspects right? So just how this sentence is structured here, right? Ki Ya'akov Behar, Behar, Behar Lau Ya. And Yisrael for his own treasure. Yisrael li segulato, 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 Yisrael li segulato, segulato. So segula, segula, we say segula, treasured, his own treasure. Lisa for segulato, his own treasure. Segulato, Yisrael. So here we have the call to praise, the hallelujah of the first four verses. Now, this psalm has the first four verses, the call to hallelujah, verses 5 to 7, Elohim's might in nature, in the natural, the nature of natures, the in nature, right, being that creator, the blameless creator of nature and the natural. We have verses 8 to 12, Ha Elohim's might in Yisrael's history, in the man who sees the true good, the true God, story, narrative, history. Then verses 13 to 18, Ha Elohim's eternity and the idols, the various different idols. You know, and we don't look at the idols as you know, the carved, the actual physical things, a lot of these isms and schisms, right, and fool philosophies out there. Then we have verses 19 to 21 is the summons, you know, like in court. In court, one receives, or from the court, one receives a summons, or, you know, like a desk, like a desk appearance. See, in Yisrael, the summons was the altar call, you know, like in the church. They talk about the altar call, but most people don't understand what really underlies most of the churches is bullshit, is garbage. They don't understand the underlying principle of it because they try to cut off the so-called Old Testament. Right, and if you cut away all of the so-called Old Testament scripts and words in the New Testament, you would have nothing. And this is what in most of the fallen and the apostasy churches, especially among the black churches, this is what we have by and large. Not all, but most. So here in verses 19 to 21, the summons to hallelujah. The summons to hallelujah. So we have today's daily psalm. Psalmist and I urges God's people to praise him because he is the incomparable Elohim, the true ruler of the Olam, the world, who has accomplished great things for the one who sees, hears, and sees and bees in his reality. For those who do other things, he also has shown us, you know, the science, the logic, you know, of why what happens there happens according to his way. So we have the first four verses just as a little groundation right here. The first four verses, just to zoom in right here. We have this psalm is identical, interesting, with Psalm 113. Let's recall that also in the royal order, the psalms and psalms according to the order. Now we're on the other side of the ledger, as I was pointing out before, right? We have from March to August is like one side of the, you say, the turn of the heavens, and we just came out from September to February. So in a sense, we're coming out of the sunken place of the year. Not quite. We have not quite reached ground zero, the horizon, just yet. See, this is when Pesach, Fasica comes in, right? And the Exodus, right? And the Tinsai, this rising up, Ki, Tisa, Tinesa, right? That rising up. So here we have an identical link with the previous psalm in the cipher, and here we are at 113 was actually about three days previous, right? So the order of the clauses that I use is somewhat reversed. This is what's different, but it's identical right here. Those who stand, right? Those who get up, stand up. There's a lot of people who are woke, right? Even in the valley of the dry bones and the bones came together, them bones. They were, in a sense, woke, right? They were together, but they were still laying down. It's almost like where the lost found are even right now, right? It's like kind of together, as it were, but what did the prophet say, right, to Adonai, Adonai? He says, Lord, you know. Right? Like they are together now. Before, the bones were all over the place. The preaching brought the bones together, but there was no spirit. They didn't have any spirit in them. Right? They didn't have, we would say, the right knowledge, wisdom, overstanding. You know, the spirit of the right knowledge, wisdom, overstanding in their heart and their mind. Right? In order to get up, stand up. A lot of folks woke. Right? You know, I remember waking up and suddenly you fall back to sleep. This is what's happened. Right? So now the word went forward in the valley of dry bones to preach to the four winds. This is what we're at right now, preaching to the four winds. Right, even turning to the nations, right? Because his blindness has happened in part to Yisrael, right? The Israelites, the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, until the fullness of the nations, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Right? So here we have those who stand, ye who stand, and not those who are laying down, right? Or even those who are sitting down, but those who stand, the ministers. Now, the link here is Psalm 134, right? 134 in the first verse, right? In the first verse, we get a link with Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye Jehovah, all ye servants of Jehovah that stand in the house of Jehovah in the night seasons. In the night seasons. Hine barku eti hoa kola abdei hoa. Ha omdim. There we go. That stand. Ha omdim. Beti hoa. Ba leilot. Ba leilot. Ba leilot. Leilot. In the night, in the night, in the night seasons. That stand. To stand, listen to Yahuwah before Jehovah. To minister, to serve to him. That's in Deuteronomy 10 and 8. This is what's spoken of the Lewi, the Levites, even as that connects here with these Torah portion as we get the sum, the accountings, right? Even the fuller fullness of the second book of Moshe, the Hebrew book of Exodus. So even that link right there. For it is pleasant. What is pleasant? For it is pleasant. It is pleasant. Sing praises to his name. Sing praises to his name. Here we're in verse 3. Let's scroll forward right here. It says, praise the Lord, for the Lord. We're reading KJV is good. Sing praises to his name. Yeah, KJV has for pleasant, for it is na'im, 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 na'im. Na'im is to be sweet, actually. Na'im, 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 na'im. Na'im, you know, is to be na'im, you know, sweet, Hebraically speaking. You know, the translation assumes that it is Adonai's, Adonai's name that is na'im, that is sweet, right? That is pleasant. Another option, some say, is to understand the referent of, quote, it, end quote, as the act of praising, the act of praising, as we have in Psalm 147 and 1. Hallelujah, for it is good to sing praises to Eloheinu, to Einai Elohim. Yes, praise is pleasant and appropriate, and it is proper, right, and exact. So the reason here is that either this can be taken as Elohim's, the Hashem, the name is pleasant, like give thanks to thy name, oh, Jehovah, for it is good, ki tov, as we have in Psalm 54 and 8, or more probably, some say, to be understood, as we have in Psalm 140, as we point to 147 and 1, it is good to sing praises to Eloheinu, Einai Elohim, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Usually we go to the Aleph, Beit, Gimel, or Gamel. And we're going to touch on the dialect here, just in the opening of today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Lamed Hey. And it's at this verse right here, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob to himself, and Yisrael, and Israel, for his own treasure. What does the KJV say right here? The KJV says, for his peculiar, adding the word peculiar, right? His own peculiar. We have Segula, Segula, Segula. But here, segula is treasure. Here it has Lisa Gulato, Segulato, Leah Segulato, 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 his treasure, Segulato, Segulato, his peculiar treasure. What is segula? Segula, 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 segula is wealth. Segula is the H5459. You can look it up, the Strong's Concordance, segula. Usually put a C there, but that's the S, that's the Samech, you know, Samech. S sound, segula, segula, is wealth as closely shut up. This is what, it's a type of wealth, it's like a protected treasure. It's like a protected, it's not just wealth, just something that is valuable, but it's something that's so valuable that it's protected, that it is closely shut up, it's guarded. It's something like, kind of like, let me say, Fort Knox, like back in the days when that used to be something, like, you know, it's something that's protected, right? Here we have the feminine passive participle of an unused root. The unused root, it means to shut up. Right, something that's shut up, that is kept, you know, like over in the UK, they talk about the treasures being kept in the Tower of London or someplace like that, you know, where if you go there, you know, you ain't going to come out if you try to get your hand, because that closely guarded, right, segula, as John's own Yisrael, right, the man who sees the true good, the true God, is a closely protected treasure, right, just like Ya'ikob, right, he has chosen Ya'ikob, right, who has chosen Ya'ikob? Yah, or in the English translations, Jah, 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 the Hebrew Jah is found here. And this is Yisrael's Savior. This is the Savior name. When we say Jah, all right, so when the Rastaman, right? And woman, pick up that word and raise it up, right? You know, praises go up, the baraka comes down. You know, praises go up to the crowd, the baraka comes down. It's significant because think about all the Christians talking about Jesus' name and what's written in the Bible. How often have they said Jah? How often have they said Jah? Or really, how often have they not said Jah? But it's the Rastaman, right? Rastafari, the truth, Rastafari, the Israel of Jah, Rastafari, Israel's Savior. The Hebrew, right, this verse right here is derived from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 6, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 6, right, 7 and 6. And it's key right here just to bring it forward to, you know, even the next verse right here where it says, "For I know that Jehovah is great." Right? Ki ani yadaiti. Ki ani for ani. Ki ani. Ki ani yadaiti. Ki ani yadaiti. Ki gadoli Yahuwah. Ki gadoli Yahuwah. For I know that Jehovah is great and that our I and I Adonai Adonai wa Adonainu wa Adonainu and I and I Adonai mi kol Elohim that our Adonai is above all Elohim. This is what we know this. You say, I think it, I feel it, I presume it. No, I know. Kiani, yada'iti, yada'iti. Right? Be still and know. Right? Know this. Ki gadoli Yehovah, wa Adonainu mikol Elohim. I know. The subject is emphatic in the Hebrew. I know. Right? Yada'iti, kiani, yada'iti. Whatever the heathens and sheathens, right, goyim, you know, and cut off lost sheep, right, whatever they may believe, be laive, right, I, as an Israelite, what Babylon feel like? I and I Rastafari Israelite of the tribe of Judah. I, as an Israelite, have definite gnosis knowledge, da'at, of ha'elohim, ha'el, ha'shalosha, His unique supremacy. So the supremacy of his divine majesty. Some might speak about white supremacy. Others might respond, even in a sense of righteous zeal of black supremacy. We speak of his majesty's supremacy above all Elohim. It is impossible to imagine that the psalmist and I accepted the reality. You know, we don't accept the reality of other Elohim. So if you talk about God, there's no God. There's no God but He who be His divine majesty. And I and we of a new name, the precious name, new name, Rastafari, in view of what is said even furthermore in today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. Elohim in nature, right, in the natures, and in history, in His story, His narrative for I and we, Jah people. Yes, I, Rastafari. Make me ride up. 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 Make it right 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 up.
Yes.
All right. Here the Hebrew. Check it.
Mizmor Kuf Lamed He Hallelujah. Hallelu et Shem Adonai, Hallelu Avde Adonai, Sheomedim Bevet Adonai, Behatzrot Bet Elohenu. Hallelujah Kitov Adonai, Zammeru Lishmo Kinaim, Ki Yaakov Bahar Loya, Yisrael Lisgulato. כי אני ידעתי כי גדול אדוני, ואדוננו מכל אלוהים. כל אשר חפץ אדוני עשה בשמיים ובארץ, בימים וכל תהומות. מעלה נשיאים מקצה הארץ, ברקים למטר עשה, מוצא רוח מאוצרותיו, שהיכה בחורי מצרים, מאדם עד בהמה. שלח אותות ומופתים בתוככי מצרים, בפרעו ובכל עבדיו, שהיכה גויים רבים, והרג מלכים עצומים. לסיחון מלך האמורי, ולעוג מלך הבשן, ולכל ממלכות כנען, ונתן ארצם נחלה, נחלה לישראל עמו. אדוני שמך לעולם, אדוני זכרך לדור ודור. כי ידין אדוני עמו, ועל עבדיו יתנחם. עצבי הגויים כסף וזהב, מעשה ידי אדם. פה להם ולא ידברו, עיניים להם ולא יראו, אוזניים להם ולא יאזינו, אך אין יש רוח בפיהם. כמוהם יהיו עושיהם כל אשר בוטח בהם. בית ישראל ברכו את אדוני, בית אהרון ברכו את אדוני, בית הלוי ברכו את אדוני, יראה אדוני ברכו את אדוני. ברוך אדוני מציון, שוכן ירושלים, הללויה.
מזמור, מזמור קוף למד ה. הללויה, הללו את השמי יהוה, הללו על שדי יהוה, שעומדים בביתי יהוה, בחצרות בית אלוהינו. הללויה, כי טוב יהוה, זמרו לשמו כי נעים, כי יעקב בחר לו יה, ישראל לישא גולתו. כי אני ידעתי כי גדול יהוה, ואדוננו מכל אלוהים. And here in today's daily psalm, the first five verses right here of today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Lamed He, Kof Lamed He, Psalm CXXXV, Psalm 135. It's themed Elohim in nature, in the nature, the natural, in history. Elohim, the nature of natures, in the nature, in nature, and in history. So here, picking up here at the Hay verse, the fifth verse, we have Elohim's might in nature. The first four verses is the call to praise, to hallelujah, 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 eight, Shemi Yehovah. Hallelujah, praise y'all, the shame, the name of Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Hallelujah, of Day Yahuwah. Praise, give Hallel, Allel, Ilil, the Ililta, Ililil, the exaltation. Hallelujah, of Day Yahuwah, of Day, Yahuwah, Yahuwah, the servants of Jehovah. She'omdim, be'abaiti Yahuwah, y'all that stand. She'omdim, be'abaiti Yahuwah, in the house, the bait, be'bait, Yahuwah, be'abaiti Yahuwah, be'chatzerot, bait Eloheinu, in the courts, be'chatzerot, the courts, bait, the house, Eloheinu of Ayanai Elohim, true good, true God. Hallelujah, praise y'all, Yah, praise y'all, Jah, hallelujah. Ki tov Yehovah, ki tov, for good, ki tov, Yahweh, for Jehovah, ki tov Yehovah, for Jehovah is good. Zamru, Lishmo, ki na'im, sing praises, sing Isaac. Now here, we're looking at the Sefer Tehillim for the Targum or the translations that sing praises to his name. Now we have praise ye, praise y'all. In the English version says the Lord, Yod Hey Wah Hey Yahuwah, praise y'all Jehovah. But here we have the Hallelujah. So we have Hallelujah, Ki Tov, Yahuwah, Zamru, chant Isaac. This is a Mizmur, a chant, an intonation. Zamru Lishmo, Ki Na'im, for it is Na'im, pleasant. Ki Na'im, Lishmo, for his name. Zamru, chant Isaac to his name. Ki Ya'ikov, Bahar lo ya, for Jehovah hath chosen Yaakov. Ki Yaakov, Bahar lo, have chosen for himself, to himself.
Now, it's interesting, here we have Yah, right? Sometimes in English it says the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, but here we have the bigrammaton, the bigrammaton. We have the tetragrammaton, the four letters. Here we have the two letters. We have the Yah, Yah. It says, Ki Ya'iko Bechar Lo Yah Yisrael Liyah Segulato and Yisrael. Yisrael, the man who sees the true God, Yasharel, Yisrael. Yisrael for his own treasure. Li segulato, segulato, his own segula, his own treasure. So here in the first four verses, we have the call, right, the pesukim, you know, the call to praise or to hallel, 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 elil, elil, y'all, hallelu, hallelujah, hallelu, the name, the Hashem, HaKadosh, Baruchu, Baruch Hashem, to hallelu, the name. And now here bringing us to Elohim, the true good, the true God, Eloheinu, to his might in nature, in the natural, from verse 5 here to verse 7, where it reads, Ki ani yada'iti ki agadoli Yehovah, for I know, Ki ani yada'iti, ki ani, ki for ani, for I, yada'iti, yada'iti, for I yada'iti, yada'iti, for I know, Ki ani yada'iti, ki gadoli Yehovah, for I know that Jehovah is gadol, is great, is important, ki gadol Yehovah, ki gadoli Yehovah, wa Adonenu mikol Elohim, and that Adonenu, that Adonenu, then I and I, Adonai, wa Adonenu is above mikol, mikol, from all Elohim, is above all Elohim, is from all Elohim. Kol asher chafeiti Yehovah asa bashamayim uva aretza bayamim wakola tehomot, whatsoever Yahuwah Jehovah pleased. Ki asher chafeiti Yehovah asa, that he has done, that hath he done, asa, 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 ki asher chafeiti Yehovah, kol asher, kol all asher, that which chafeits, that which he pleased, chafeits, takes delight in Yahuwah, Jehovah, asa, he has done, bashamayim, in the shamayim, in the sham, the place of the mayim, of the celestial waters, bashamayim, uva aret, uva aret, and in the earthly plane, in the aret, bayamim, bayamim, and in the seas, bayamim, Kola tehomot, and in all deeps, and in the depths, the deeps. For I know, yada'iti, this is what I know. The subject is emphatic, for I know, ki ani yada'iti, ki ani, for I, ki ani yada'iti, for I yada'iti. Whatsoever the goyim, the Gentiles, the international community, the heathen, and the sheathen may be naive, I, as an Israelite, have definite da'at, gnosis, right? Epinosis, ilket, knowledge, scientia, scientia, science of ha-Elohim, of Elohim, the true good, the true God's unique supremacy. Ki ani yada'iti, for I know that he who be, who he be, is great. Ki ani yada'iti, ki gadoli Yehovah, wa donenu mikol Elohim. Mikol, mikol Elohim, above all Elohim. It is impossible to imagine that the psalmist or I and I accepted and accept the reality of other so-called Elohim in reality, in view of what he and I and I says in verse 15. When we get to the 15th verse of today's daily psalm, just going there, it says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the walk, the work of men's hands. It's Avei Hagoyim, Kesef, Zahav, the idols. It's Avei Hagoyim, of the Goyim, of the international community, nation, and nationalities. Kesef, Zahav, Kesef, Zahav, silver, Kesef, and Zahav. Ma'isei Yidei Adam, the work of Adam's hands. Ma'isei Yidei Adam, Yidei, the hands of Adam, Yidei Adam. Ma'isei, the walk, the work, ma'isei, Yidei Adam, the work of man's hands. So here, in this verse right here, right, we have a declaration, an emphatic. It's emphatic here in the Hebrew, the subject for I know, ki ani yada'iti, ki gadoli Yahuwah, ki gadol Yahuwah, for Jehovah is great, for I know, wa Adonenu, Adonai, mikol Elohim, above all Elohim, whatsoever he who be, who he be, please. That hath he done. Kol asher hafetzi Yehovah asa b'shamayim uva aretz, in the heaven and in the earth. B'yamim u'kol tahomot, in the seas. U'kol tahomot, and in all the tahomot, and in all the depths. This here, whatsoever he who be, who he be pleased, delights in, he hath done. Asa. This here is quoted from Psalm 115, around about the third verse. We have the depths. Tahomot is the waters, and the waters of waters beneath the earth, beneath the earthly plane. The plain truth is earthly plane. And here's the connection with Psalm 24. Psalm 24, around about verse 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2. He who be, who he be. Ma'ille nesi'im mikasei ha'aretz bi'arakim. La matara asa motzeya ruach meya or me orza rotayo me orza rotayo. Who he who be, who he be, is he who causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, the earthly plane. Ma ille nisim Mikitz'e, from the ends, Ha'aretz, from the ends of Ha'aretz, Be'arakim, La Matara Asa, he maketh lightnings for the rain, Be'arakim, Rakim, La Matara Asa, Motze Ruach, he bringeth forth the Ruach, the wind, the iris, the spirit, Motze Ruach, May Orza Rotayo, out of his treasuries, Orza Rotayo, the vapors, the sea mist, Nisei, right, from the ends, Mikitze, Haaretz, from the ends of Aretz, the earthly plain, from the sea, that engirdles, the sea, the waters, it engirdles the world. The lightnings for the rain, lightnings that accompany the rainstorms. Be'arakim lamatar asa. It was always a mystery to the ancients, that fire and water seemed to come from the sky together. That fire and water, this was a mystery to the ancients, that fire and water is seen to come from the sky together. Though the rain was not heated, nor the fire extinguished this mystery. Right, Be'arakim lamatar asa, motze ruach me'arza rotayo. And now here, this brings us these verses 5-7. Elohim, he who be, who he be, yod hey weh hey Yahweh, his might in nature, in the natural. Within the verses 5-7. So here in verses 8-12 we have Ha Elohim, the true God, Yod Hey Wehe Yahweh Yahweh Yahweh, his might in Israel's history. Remember today's daily Psalm Mizmor Kof Lamed Hey is themed Ha Elohim, the true God in nature, in the natural and history. So firstly, the call to praise, the Hallelujah, he who be, in the first four verses 5-7, Yahweh Jehovah's might in the natural, and here Yahuwah's Jehovah's might in Yisrael's history. Picking up with verse 8 here in the Sefer Tehillim. Shehika bikorei Mitzrayim, who smote the firstborn, the bikorei Mitzrayim, the firstborn of Mitzrayim. Me Adam Ada behem, both of man and beast, from Adam, may Adam, ad to behema, to the beast. Shehika bikorei Mitzrayim. Shehika, he who be, who he be, Shehika, the one who smote both of man and beast, from man, may Adam, from man, from Adam, may Adam, ad behema, to beast. We have this in Exodus 12 and 29 and Exodus 13 and 15. He sent signs and wonders. Shalach, otot, shalach, otot. He sent signs, shalach, otot. He sent otot, signs. U morfitim, and morfitim, and wonders. Be'er tokeki, mitzrayi, in the midst of thee. In the midst of thee, be'etokheki, mitzrayim, speaking to Egypt as she, be'etokheki, mitzrayim, in the midst of thee, I, mitzrayim, be'faro, u'vekola, avadayo, upon faro, the great house, and upon all his servants, u'vekola, avadayo, u'vekola, Abadayo, all his Abadayo, his servants, the signs and wonders, speaking of from Exodus, Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. Who he be, he who be, who he be, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, he be he who smote many nations, Shehika Goyim, Rabim, Shehika Goyim, Rabim, who smote the same word, Shehika, 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 Hunaka, Huhika, who smote Goyim, the nations, the international community, Rabim, Rabim, many of them, enough of them, enough nations. We harag me alakim itzumim and slew mighty itzumim melakim, slew mighty melachim, melachim. We harag, viharag melachim. It's umim, slew mighty, mighty. We have Deuteronomy 7 here and 1, right? Bringing into the equation ones like Sihon, king of the Amorites. Le Sihon, melech ha-emori. Ula oga, melech ha-bashan. Ula kola, malalekota kna'an. Sihon or Sihon, Sihon, Melech Ha'emori, king, Melech of the Emori, Ha'emori of the Amorites, U'l'og Melech Ha'Bashan, an Og, the Melech, the king of Bashan, the Bashan, Ha'Bashan, and all the kings of Kna'an, U'l'kola Malekota Kna'an, all the kingdoms, their mama Lekot, Ulkola Mamlekota Kana'an, all of the kings of Kana'an. So we have Numbers 21, verses in 21, as well as Numbers 21, verse 33. Now Bashan, here, Bashan was inhabited by half of the tribe of Manasseh. Take note. And the land of the Ha'emori, the Amorites, including part of Moab, conquered by them, by the tribe of Reuben. Of Reuben. So just to make this link right here, as we hear in verse 12, and gave their land for an heritage, a heritage to Yisrael, to Israel, Ammo, his people, with Natan, Arzama, Nachila, Le Yisrael, Ammo, to Yisrael, Le Yisrael, Ammo, Nachila. And heritage, divine heritage, nachila, with Natana Arzama nachila, and gave their land for a nachila, a heritage, an inheritance, a heritage, with Natan Arzam nachila, li Yisrael, Amo, a heritage for Yisrael, Amo, his people. And now here, this brings us into today's daily psalm, Elohim, in nature. Elohim in nature, in the Netzaru, and in history, to verses 13 to 18. And here we have Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God's eternity, and the idols, the idolatry, the impotence of the idols and their idolatry. So here, picking up with the 13th verse, here we're in the Sefer Tehillim. Yahweh Shimka Le'olam, Yahuwah Zikreka Le'dor Wador. Yahuwah, Jehovah, thy name, Shimcha, the Shem, Shimcha, Yahweh Shimka le'olam, 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 for the olam, forever le'olam. Yahweh Shimka le'olam, Yahuwah zikreka le'dor vador, le'dor vador, thy name, Shimka, thy name. Endureth le'olam for ever, Yahuwah, O Jehovah, he who be, we be, zikrika, zikrika, thy zikr, zikr, right, thy memorial, zikrika, ledor for generation, wador, ledor for a generation, vador, ledor, vador, ledor, wador. Here we have a connection of the name and a memorial of the name, Exodus 3 and 15. Right, also in Psalm 102, round about verse 13, the connection of thy memorial, Jehovah, ledor wador. And also we have the Knesset, the Mikura, right, you know, song, dor wador as well. Picking up right here, verse 14, Chabarim, ki ayadini Yehovah amo, we Allah avadayo, yita neham. For Jehovah will judge his people. Ki yadin Yahuwah ammo. Ki yadin Yahuwah ammo. For Jehovah will judge ammo, ammo, judge ammo, judge ammo, his people. Now here, quoted from Deuteronomy 32, 36. The very extremity of Yisrael's need will move him, will move he who be who he be, to vindicate yadin. Yadin, to vindicate Yisrael. So the use of the word judge in this sense, not the shofet sense of judge, but here the din, the yadin. Ki yadin, ki yadini Yehovah ammo, ki yadin, that he will vindicate Yisrael against foes and distractors, against the foes and distractors, and repenteth himself for his servants and for and upon his servants, v'al. Avadayo, Abadayo, Evadayo, Allah, Evadayo, Evadayo, there's Avad, Eved, Evadayo, Evadayo, and all his Eved, Evadayo, his servants, and upon all his servants, we Allah, Evadayo, Yita Necham, Yita Necham, Yita Necham, he will repent himself. He'll rescind, by repenting himself, he'll rescind his hard decrees. Even the curses for disobedience, his hard decrees against Yisrael, when suffering the penalty of disobedience and not abandon the people to total self-destruction. But he was headed for self-destruction, he will repent himself for his servants. We Allah evadayo yita necham. The idols, concerning the idols of the nations of the Gentiles, it's Ave Hagoyim, Kesef, with Zahab, our silver, Kesef, with and Zahav, and gold, Ma'isei, Yidei Adam, the work of men's hands. Now, here in verses 15, right, here we have verses 15 to 18, repeated with slight variation from Psalm 115. 115, round about verses 4 to 8. These verses here in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Kof Lamed He, Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, in nature, in the netru, and in history. Picking up right here, verse 16, Peh Lahem, with lo Yedaveru, Ayanayim Lahem, with lo Yeru, they have mouths. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Peh lahem, willo yedaveru. Ayanayim lahem, willo yeru. Azanayim lahem, willo yaazinu. Afaena she ruach. Befihem. They have ears. Ears they have, but they hear not. Azanayim lahem, willo yaazinu. Neither is there any breath. Is there any breath? Af ein yesh ruach. Af ein yesh ruach. Befihem, in their mouths. Befihem, in their mouths. Kumohem yihiyu. Osehem. Kol asher boteyach bahem. They that make them shall be like to them.
Kamohema Yehiyua Osehem Kola Sherabot Eyacha Bahem. Yea, everyone that trusteth, all that trusteth, Boteyach, right, Bahem, in them. And so here this brings us to verses 19 to 21 to fulfill today's daily psalm, Mizmor of Lamed Hey, Psalm 135, Psalm CXXXV. Here we have the fulfillment verses, the summons again. In the beginning is the call to praise, to hallelujah, to hallelujah. And here we have the summons. Here is the summons, receiving the summons. The summons here to praise is said to praise. He who be, we be, or more better, to bless, right? To bless. Here, picking up verse 18. Picking up with verse 18, verse 19. Verse 19 here, the summons to bless he who be, we be. Beit Yisrael, barku eti Yehovah. Beit Aharon, barku eti Yehovah. O house of Yisrael, Beit Yisrael, barku eti Yehovah, et Yahuwah. Bless your Jehovah. Beit Aharon, barku eti Yehovah, bless your Jehovah. For the invocation here, we also have Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11, as well as Psalm 118, verses 2 to 4, this invocation. Beit Yisrael, Beit Yisrael, Beit Yisrael, Beit Yisrael, barku eti Yehovah, Beit Aharon, barku eti Yehovah, bless your Jehovah. Verse 20. Beit Halewi, barku eti Yehovah. Yehovah, barku eti Yehovah. O house of Lewi, house of Levi. Beit Halewi, Halewi, Halevi, Halewi. Beit Halevi, barku eti Yehovah. Yehovah, barku eti Yehovah. Ye all that reverence, that respect. Yehovah, Yahuwah. Yirei Yahuwah, Yirei Yahuwah, y'all that reverence, respect, Jehovah, Barku eti Yahuwah, bless y'all Yahuwah, Jehovah, O house of Lewi, bless y'all Jehovah. Yirei Yahuwah, Barku eti Yahuwah, ye y'all that reverence, that respect, Yirei, Yirei Yahuwah. Yirei Yahuwah, Yirei Yahuwah, y'all that reverence, respect, Jehovah, barku eti Yahuwah, bless y'all Yahuwah, Jehovah, O house of Lewi, bless y'all Jehovah. In addition to this psalm, to this mizmor, as compared with the others mentioned, so when we compare with Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11, Psalm 118, verses 2 to 4, we have this similar summons to bless he who be, who ye be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch, Baruch, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, to bless he who be, who ye be. But here in verse 20 of Psalm 135, we have an addition, and this addition is Beit HaLewi, Barku Eti Yehovah, O house of Lewi, Beit HaLevi, HaLevi of Levi, bless your Jehovah. There's an addition here, right, to this psalm. We compare it with the others. But picking up here with verse 21, verse 21, Baruch Yahuwah mi Zion, Shochein Yerushalayim, Hallelujah. Blessed be he who be who he be out of Zion. Baruch Yahuwah mi Zion. Blessed be he who be who he be. Baruch Yahuwah. Baruchi Yahuwah mi Zion. Shochein Yerushalayim. Shochein. Shochein. The one who dwells, who shakan, shakanyahu. Shochein. Shochein. Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Who dwelleth at Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed out of Zion. Mi Zion. Here, blessed means, some say, the same as praise in the sense of Psalm 124, around about verse 6. As Ha Elohim, he sends his Baraka. He sends his Baraka, his blessings, his blessedness, Mi Zion, from Zion, as we have in Psalm 134, around about the third verse. So from the center,
from the center, keeping it hard to claim in Levitical, his worship, his worship, from the center of his worship, meets Zion, from Zion, even the African Zion, meets Zion, from the center of his worship, should the praise, right, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the praise of he who be, who he be, echo far and wide, yes, I. Baruch Rastafari,
Mizmor Kuf Lamed He Hallelujah. 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 Mizmor Kuf Lamed He Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Et Shem Adonai. Hallelujah. Abde Adonai. Sheomedim Bebet Adonai. בחצרות בית אלוהינו הללויה כי טוב אדוני זמרו לשמו כי נעים